Welcome to Become Nomad Podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you run out of summer. So I'm sending you my regards this time from the beautiful Ukrainian city of Odessa on the shore of the Black Sea. It can be a very touristic city, but I personally really enjoy it. I was here a year ago in winter and I couldn't really swim. So now I'm really filling in the gaps and swimming almost every day. Very soon I'm going to a sea resort called Zatoka, which is 2 hours from here, to experience a little bit more nature and swimming again. In general, the Ukrainian infrastructure for travel is not that good, but it now improves a little bit around Odessa, because Crimea, which was a big tourist destination for Ukrainians in summer, is no longer available due to political reasons, and now Ukrainians are developing the other towns on their seaside. So looking forward to enjoy that. And on the topic of Odessa and my connection to it, this is exactly the topic for today's episode, which will be recommended digital nomad locations and hubs. I'm not sure we can fit it all into one episode, probably gonna have to split it to two or three. So we're just gonna roll with it and see. And that's it, hope you enjoy. So what we're gonna do today is discuss one of the interesting topics out there, which is basically where to go if you're a digital nomad, or what are really the options. I'm titling this post as or episode as Trending Digital Nomad Locations. The reasons why I call it trending is because those locations keep on changing. So hopefully we're gonna change the list as we go. The idea behind this post, which will hopefully be a giant list of digital nomad recommended location, is to go over a few resources that I now use, and also use my own knowledge and experience from being a digital nomad in the last 6 years and speaking with a lot of digital nomads out there, and make a list that can be helpful. I would say in advance that in order for the list not to be too overwhelming, because I'm going to include a lot of locations into it, I will split it into categories with titles. For example, a good value for money locations, or locations with a lot of nature, and so on and so on. So that will hopefully allow you to skip to the titles that you find more interesting and investigate the locations there. I will also, over time, will try to add one article of someone else about a specific location for those of you who would like to dive deeper and investigate the location more in detail after I give a very brief overview in a few lines or even one about each location. A few of the resources I've been using for this article is including Dynamite Circle, a community, a digital nomad community, where I get a lot of feedback from, and Nomad List, which is kind of an aggregator site for nomadic digital nomad hubs. Now, I would like to say in advance that this following list might not include the places that you would most connect to, either now or in the future. There are basically thousands of towns and cities around the world that allow you to live as a digital nomad. And one of the most important things is to understand, first of all, the profile of the location you're looking for, which depends basically on your character, hobbies, style of traveling, and also on your financial situation. So there is no right or wrong list for everyone, and that's why I'm not gonna rank the list basically on the best and so on and so on. There is only best place for you, and you will only know what is the best place by trial and error, as we mentioned before, understanding what you're looking for based on who you are. And with all the preparation, there is also one thing that cannot be predicted, which is basically your connection to a place. There is some kind of a click that sometimes happened when you go to a place and you just click with it for no reason, and it becomes a second home or your favorite city in the world. Again, only trial and error, only going to places and experimenting them. So while I'm building this list, I will also try to offer some variance between continents, as it is always important to have plan B, either change the atmosphere, because the atmosphere totally changes between continents. For example, cities in South America are going to be incredibly different from cities in East Europe, and you want to experiment everything you can do. And also, our planet basically allows you to constantly escape winter with the opposite seasons. So the idea over here is that if you have a few cities in a few continents, you can always escape extreme temperature, which is pretty good. I would mention, and I mentioned before, that those destinations are fluid, so I will try, and they keep on changing, so I will try to update this article regularly. However, I'm only a one-person show, so I need your feedback as well. So I would love to hear from you about new suggestions for changes that I missed, locations that I missed, locations that should not be on the list, and also for recommended articles, if you know of some, about that go deep into a specific location. Okay, so without further ado, let's start. And the first category is actually a town. And the category is called the mother of all digital nomad destinations. So I would have to say that there is only one dominant town which represents the trend of the digital nomad lifestyle. This town is called, or city, is called Chiang Mai. It is in Thailand. Now, when historians are going to research the phenomenon of digital nomads, Chiang Mai is probably going to be regarded as the place where the culture kind of got solidified or started. The city basically represents this trend. However, other than the historical value of being the digital nomad maybe first destination, Chiang Mai is still a really good place to start your nomadic journey for various reasons. Now, first and foremost, the biggest reason is that it has an amazing digital nomad community, because the name creates a location, and Chiang Mai has its name. So you could probably not throw a stone in Chiang Mai without hitting a laptop or an aspiring digital nomad. So needless to say that when you start, the community aspect is very important, both on the emotional aspect of it and the educational reasons of learning the trade from other nomads and being inspired by what they do. So that's a good enough reason to pick Chiang Mai. And in addition to that, Chiang Mai is also extremely cheap. It is also situated in a beautiful nature location, which allows nice excursions. I have to say that I was not there as a digital nomad, but as a traveler, and I've done some really nice excursions in nature and so on. So I love the city and looking forward to get back to it as a digital nomad. To sum it all up, Chiang Mai is an absolutely great place for a beginner digital nomad. From feedback that I've received, you will probably get over it pretty fast and decide to move on to a place where you can create more business connections and have better infrastructure or and more professional atmosphere. But then again, you have to start somewhere, or you sometimes need a break from all the serious stuff, and that's where Chiang Mai is coming handy. Okay, moving on to the next category, which is the hipster capital. So when it comes to a merge of being a hipster capital that is full with artists, events, still offers good value because it's based in West Europe, and have a very strong startup ecosystem, Berlin is your place, and that's our hipster capital, Berlin in Germany. So I know a lot of people that totally fell in love with the city. Unlike Chiang Mai, they actually stay for years and years. There are a lot of those people for some reason. And I would have to say that I was there for 3 months. Usually I don't like big cities, and Berlin is a huge city. I think it has about 3 million people or even more. However, I liked it enough to stay 4 months, so that's a good indication that something good is happening there. I was basically more immersed in the startup ecosystem there, which was more interesting for me. But the culture and events are also huge, huge. And basically, a quick word of warning about Berlin. Again, an amazing destination that you should experience. However, you should probably do it fast, because Berlin, since it's starting to get more of the aura of the capital, one of the capitals of the world and a place to be and a trendy place, is also changing pretty fast. It becomes a little bit more trendy, more expensive. Some of the places there are kind of disappearing. The original fine places are disappearing to big, multinational companies. So during my stay there for 3 months, I actually had two of the local coffee shops and pubs I was going to that I heard are closing down and are going to be replaced with something a lot more posh. So again, Berlin, an amazing destination. You probably want to experience it as soon as possible. It is changing quite fast and already pretty changed from what it used to be 10 years ago. So moving on to another interesting, this time category and not one city, and we're going to call it the best value locations. So I would like to say, first of all, that value for money does not necessarily mean cheap. It simply means receiving a lot for a low quantity of money. For example, and that's exactly, for example, why India is not on this list, because India is incredibly cheap. Also very, very fun. I have a special place in my heart for India. But in the same time, due to the challenges you will encounter in India that have to do with lack of infrastructure, weird surprises, and so on and so on, it reduces the value it gives you. So although it's cheap, I'm not including it here. So again, the focus is on places that give you value for money. And when measuring value for money, probably the most important factor you want to take into account is the fluctuations of currency or currency devaluation. In other words, which currencies got smashed recently, leaving the cost roughly the same for locals but making it incredibly lucrative for foreigners who are there on foreign currency. So I have to say also on this topic that this is very, very temporal. Those situations are temporal. They tend, those gaps of receiving amazing value tend to close down over time, just because the currency will get stronger, crazy inflation will kick in, or many, many digital nomads and travelers are gonna mark it as a destination and then pumping a lot more foreign currency into the country and reviving it. So do not take your time if you want to go to the best value locations. And currently on the list for me, and the list again changes all the time, because for example in 2003, if I would have to build it, it would be probably Buenos Aires in Argentina, that offered an amazing value after their currency collapsed 300% in one day. I was there when it happened, and it was incredible. Now, for example, Buenos Aires is kind of expensive because inflation is crazy. So it is no longer on this list. So let's talk about which cities are. So for me, first of all, the first country that is on the list is the country where I am now. It's the Ukraine. So since 2014, the dollar got more than 300% stronger in comparison to the local currency, the hryvnia. That makes Ukraine, that was never really a rich or a very expensive destination, to be crazy, not cheap, but crazy valuable for the money that you spend. And probably the highest value country currently in the world. Take into account that it happens for a reason. Basically, the political situation is not that good and there is tension with Russia. but I'm only speaking on the money or the expenses aspect here. It is incredibly a good opportunity to stay in the Ukraine and live the life relatively without spending a lot of money. So when dealing with the Ukraine, let's talk about a few options for cities where you would like to investigate. So probably the most recommended or popular option in the Ukraine currently is Lviv. Lviv is a city in the east of Ukraine, almost in the border with Poland. It has a European chic, a lot of history, good vibes into it, and is becoming increasingly popular. I have to say that personally, I enjoy Kiev, the capital of the Ukraine, better, since there are more things moving there. It is a little bit more modern, for me a little bit more special, and there is also an abundance of co-working spaces in Kiev, so Kiev is a good option. My absolute favorite option in the Ukraine is Odessa, where I am currently. Now, Odessa is a fun and touristic city. It's also a very beautiful city, the city center. And as I mentioned before, it has a very big bonus of being on the Black Sea. So you can actually swim and work at the same time. It also has some few co-working spaces that recently showed up, which makes the experience all too better. And in general, Odessa is a city that is not, you can't really feel like you're in East Europe here. Unlike in other parts of the Ukraine that you really feel the East European vibe, Odessa is kind of a Balkan city, has a lot of nationalities mixed into it. It's a port city and you can really feel it. And if you need to escape from the East European feeling, Odessa is absolutely an amazing place to do that. I have to say that I chose personally to experience Odessa kind of as a local, low profile. You can also experience the party side of it or the luxurious side of it, which can make it a little bit overwhelming and even expensive, although the currency is very favorable. So it's all about how you choose to experiment the city as well. Odessa, I really like it. So anywhere outside of the Ukraine, let's expand the list a little bit. To a lower extent, most of the countries that formed the ex-Soviet Union have received a huge devaluation, which will, not unlike Ukraine, not three times, but maybe two times, which also makes them very good for visiting right now. So I have to say in advance, anything that has to do with the ex-Soviet Union, that not knowing Russian can be a little bit overwhelming and very challenging, because a lot of the people in the ex-Soviet Union do not speak English, and you're really gonna feel it when you're here. So if you are if you wanna spend time here, it is very, very advisable to work a little bit on your Russian, as I do. And let's start a little bit, jump to other countries. So starting with Russia, the motherland. I haven't been in Russia yet, but if you would go there as a digital nomad, you would probably want to experience Moscow. And again, Russia is on the list because it is its currency also got hammered by recent events, and now it's two times cheaper than what it used to be. So Moscow is a good city to start. It's a huge megapolis and the business center of Russia. Doesn't have a lot of digital nomads in it. I will still have to experiment it, but now is a good time to do that. However, if I would have to pick only one destination in Russia, I would probably pick St. Petersburg, which is a little bit less hectic than Moscow, and receiving glorious reviews from everyone that spent some time there. So it's a city with an amazing history, great art scene, and so on and so on. It has to be on your nomadic plan if you visit Russia. One more low-cost former gem of the Soviet Union is Minsk, the capital of Belarus. Now, I love Minsk. I've spent 2 months there. It is an extremely organized and beautiful city, smart people, no surprises, everything is in place. and a very fast growing tech sector that is quite fun to experience. You have a lot of successful tech companies that are based in Belarus now. I would have to say that maybe the biggest appeal of Minsk, other than it being a relatively high value because of the currency devaluation and other aspects as well, that it's a very, very closed country due to its political structure and so on and so on. So you can really have a feeling of Soviet Union in some parts. For example, Lenin statues in the streets and so on and so on. Some things that you will not even experience in Russia itself. Minsk actually preserved its Soviet vibes, and it's a unique opportunity for you to pick a location that has still this feeling. It is also rapidly changing, not rapidly, but it is also changing now. So it's a good opportunity to visit a very charming and recommended city. I would have to say that the disadvantage of Minsk is that it's a little bit hard on visas and registration. You basically have to get a visa from most countries in the world. Luckily, I'm from Israel, so I don't need a visa, but for most countries you do. And regardless of where you're from, you're going to have to go to a police station to register yourself just after arriving if you plan to stay more than 5 days. So that's another little bit bureaucratic hassle to take into consideration. So we will close this episode for today with the most popular European cities to stay in before we dive into the next episode to cities in other locations. So I identified 3 cities that are incredibly popular in Europe, and we're talking of cities out of that are not Berlin, which is, as we mentioned, the star of this group. So those 3 cities, all of them have big digital nomad communities and are very, very good recommended places to start as a digital nomad as well, because Europe is extremely organized and no surprises, no big uncertainties and so on and so on. So each one of those cities can be nice for you. So the first city is Prague in the Czech Republic. Prague is a super touristic city. It deserves the amount of tourists it has, because it's beautiful, although it can be a little bit overwhelming for digital nomads who are into feeling locals and fitting in. Prague is a beautiful city. It's a very romantic city. It has the cheapest beer in the world and probably the best. And it also offers better value for money than Berlin, especially considering the latest trends happening in Berlin, and also has an abundance of co-working spaces. So a nice city to consider. Personally, I've been there for a month and a half. I enjoyed the city, but I can't say I had a special connection with it. Maybe it has to do with me being there in the winter, in the snow, but it just felt a little bit too organized to my taste. But again, I know a lot of people who are totally in love with this city. Moving on from Prague, I'm moving to Budapest in Hungary, which is now becoming more popular for digital nomads by the minute. So first of all, it's a little bit cheaper than Prague, has a little bit of an East European chic into it, although not too much. It's a very advanced city. It is less touristic than Prague, and I think it is just as beautiful as well. It has the same scenery, kind of a beautiful river and castles and so on and so on. So it kind of feel like the younger sister of Prague. Budapest also have some really successful startups and an active co-working scene and tech scene. So probably that's another reason to go to Budapest. And I have to say that I enjoyed staying there a little bit more than Prague. I'm not a big fan of big cities in general, but Budapest was actually a pretty cool place, and I can totally recommend it. Moving on to the third city, that is the last for today, and this is Barcelona. So Barcelona, although it is a little bit more, or let me rephrase it, Barcelona is more expensive than Prague and Budapest. You should be aware of it before you go there. But it also, so it's kind of a place for a better off digital nomads to go to. So do go to Barcelona only if you have a little bit more money. If you're on a crazy budget, do not go there. So the people who go there are looking for a really nice combination of amazing nature, because they have really nice mountains, great sea, the beaches there are amazing, and a beautiful city in general to explore and to live in. The city is also very inviting for well-off digital nomad families, as it has first-class infrastructure and so on and so on. As for Barcelona, I have to say that it can get a little bit overwhelming, not only with the cost, but also with the crazy amount of tourists that this city has. It's absolutely one of the most touristic cities in the world, so you should take it into account. Many digital nomads are actually opting out of the city center and are going into the outskirts of the city. They have a lot of small towns and regions that are connected to Barcelona with the train, with the fast train, that are by the mountains. So that's an option to consider. I've been in Barcelona for a month and a half. I have to say that it's been fun. Again, not a big connection, because I don't really connect to big cities, and I also made a very big mistake of working from home and not choosing a co-working space, which you should definitely do if you have the same personality like me. But I have to say that going to the beach and enjoying the mountains was great fun. I was actually staying in a hostel that was run by people with disabilities. That was very inspiring. That was on the mountains in Barcelona, so you would have wild boars running all over the place, and it was a really good atmosphere. So Barcelona recommended the location, but take into account that you will need a little bit more budget for it. And I think that's it for today. We'll conclude our episode here, so we don't get you a little bit too tired, and continue the next episodes with more locations. So if you would like, you can see the show notes for these episodes at becomenomad.com. We will have an article about the trending digital nomad locations there. And that's it. I'm going to have a swim in Zatoka, and I hope you enjoy your weekend as well. Bye bye.